right, good evening. Welcome to Bethel Baptist Church. Let's all go ahead and go into word and prayer, and then we'll get started here tonight. Dearly Father, Lord, thank you for this day that you've given us. Thank you for this beautiful weather we had, and bless the preaching from Brother Martin tonight, Lord. Help it to speak to our hearts, Lord. Be with Pastor and the youth group, or they are in Oklahoma City for YouthCon, Lord. Please let them have the right decisions to make for YouthCon, and help Brother Moyer as he's in his eye, Lord. Bless him in a dear special way and his dear wife. But please meet with us today in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, let's all stand. Let's turn to page 265. My anchor holds here.
Though the angry surges roll on my tempest-driven soul, I am peaceful, for I know, wildly through the winds may blow, I've an anchor safe and sure that can evermore endure, and it holds, my anchor holds. Blow your wildest fin, O gale, on my bark so small and frail, by his grace I shall not fail, for my mighty tides about me sweep, perils lurk within the deep, angry clouds are shade the sky, and the tempest rises high, still I stand the tempest shock, for my anchor grips the rock, and it holds, my anchor holds. Blow your wildest fin, O gale, on my bark so small and frail, by his grace I shall not fail, for my I can feel the anchor fast as I meet each sudden blast. The cable, though unseen, bears the heavy string between. Through the storm I safely ride till the turning of the tide, and it holds, my anchor holds. Blow your wildest fin, O gale, on my bark so small and frail, by his grace I shall not fail, for my up on the last. Troubles almost whelm the soul, Christ-like billows o'er me roll, tempters seek to lure astray, storms obscure the light of day, but in Christ I can be bold, I've an anchor that shall hold, and it holds, my anchor small and frail. By his grace I shall not fail, for my anchor holds. My anchor holds.
Thank you. You may be seated. Turn back to page 216 here. He touched me.
Shackled by a heavy burden, 'neath the load of guilt and shame, then the hand of Jesus touched me. He touched me, oh, he touched me, and oh, the joy that floods my soul, something happened, and now I know he touched me.
Up on the last.
Since I met this blessed Savior, since he cleansed and made me whole, I will never cease to praise him. I'll shout eternity rolls. He touched me, oh, he touched me, and all the joy that floods my soul, something happened, and now he touched me and made me whole.
Amen. I just want to go over a few announcements here, just a few. Do please pray for the youth group as they're away and at YouthCon right now with Pastor and Brother Philip. Please keep them in prayer. They shall be back sometime Friday. Saturday, August 8th, we'll have bus visitation and church-wide operation saturation, soul winning at 10. Please do not miss to come out with us. And Sunday, August 23rd, is back to school promotion Sunday. We'll be having snow cones for all afterwards. And then Friday, September 4th, is Alex and Leah's wedding, and it starts at 5. 5 o'clock. Do not be late. 5 o'clock at the church. And please keep Pastor and the teens in prayer at YouthCon. They should be back Friday. But that's all the announcements I have. Let's all stand and have time of shaking fellowship, and we'll take the offering. All right, let's find our place here tonight. We'll receive the offering. Brother Glor, would you mind praying for us tonight? Amen. You may be seated. Y'all can be seated. Let's turn our pages in our hymn books to page 168, Mansion Over the Hilltop. We'll sing all three verses of this one tonight.
I'm satisfied with just a cottage below, a little silver and a little gold. But in that city where the ransom will shine, I want a gold one, that silver. Up on the last, don't think me poor, deserted or lonely. I'm not discouraged, I'm heaven bound. I'm just a pilgrim in search of a city. I want a mansion, a harp and a crown. I've got a mansion just over the hilltop in that bright land where we'll never grow old. And someday yonder we will never more wander, but walk the streets that are pure.
I'm looking forward to that day, amen. All right, we'll have Brother Nathan come sing for us, and then Brother Martin, you come preach.
Or I sing and you preach.
There's a land that is fairer than day, and by faith we can see it afar. For the Father waits over the way to prepare us a dwelling place there. In the sweet by and by, we shall meet on that beautiful shore. In the sweet by and by, we shall meet on that beautiful shore. We shall sing on that beautiful shore the melodious songs of the and our spirit shall sorrow no more. Not a sigh for the blessing of rest. In the sweet by and by, we shall meet on that beautiful shore. In the sweet by and by, we shall meet on that beautiful shore. To our bountiful Father above, we will offer our tribute of praise for the glorious gift of His love and the blessings that bless all our days. In the sweet by and by, we shall meet on that beautiful shore. In the sweet by and by, we shall meet on that beautiful shore.
Thank you, Brother Nathan. Amen. Thank you, Brother Kevin. Amen. Lead music, making the announcements, receiving the offering. You're a multi-talented man. Amen. That's great. Well, the pastor called just before church and said he'd be praying for us and asked us to pray for them. And they're at the youth conference in Oklahoma City. They keep calling Youth Con. Our generation is smarter than this generation. We could pronounce the entire word. Next generation is not going to be Youth Con. It's going to be YC. Did you go to the YC? You're going... I can say refrigerator, not just fridge. I mean, you know, I mean, that's our future, though. It's a scary thought, isn't it? Amen. Well, I know there are a lot of folks gone tonight, but the real people are here. And but we don't need them anyway, so it's good. Our daughter Sarah's homesick. My wife's home, doesn't have a leg to stand on. And so, but we're here. Amen. My wife said, "What are you preaching tonight?" And I said, "Yes." She said, "What do you mean?" I said, "I just got so many. I've got 66 books. I'm having trouble selling in on one of them." But she said, "Quote, you're not going to do that to him, are you?" And so, then Brother Moyer called. He's got shingles in his head area, in addition to everything else. And he says, "We're going to watch you tonight." I said, "Watch me where?" He said, "On TV." I said, "Oh, don't do that." He said, "Why not?" I said, "One, I'm not worth listening to, and two, I'm way too ugly and too old to look at on TV." So turn on Joel Osteen or something. I don't know. Mr. Smiley, amen, I tell you. But anyway, I invite your attention to the New Testament book of the Revelation of Jesus Christ, chapter number 5. Revelation chapter number 5. And if you stand with me, please, in honor of the reading of Scripture, we're going to read a fair amount. And I hope that's okay, amen. Get your daily Bible reading in tonight. All right. Revelation beginning in chapter number 5. John the Divine says, while exiled on Isle of Patmos, he says this in verse number 1. And I saw in the right hand of him that sat on the throne a book written within and on the backside sealed with 7 seals. And I saw a young angel proclaiming, strong angel, proclaiming with a loud voice, "Who is worthy to open the book and to loose the seals thereof?" And no man in heaven, nor on earth, neither under the earth, was able to open the book, neither to look thereon. And I wept much, because no man was found worthy to open the book and to read the book, neither to look thereon. And one of the elders saith unto me, "Weep not. Behold, the Lion of the tribe of Judah, the Root of David," that's Jesus, "hath prevailed to open the book and to loose the 7 seals thereof." And I beheld, and lo, in the midst of the throne and of the 4 beasts, and in the midst of the elders, stood a lamb, as it had been slain, having 7 horns and 7 eyes, which represents power and authority and wisdom, which are the 7 spirits of God sent forth into all the earth. And he came and he took the book out of the right hand of him that sat upon the throne. That's a powerful verse, Jesus taking this book from God the Father. And when he had opened it, when he had taken the book, and the 4 beasts of 24 elders fell down before the Lamb, having every one of them harps and golden vials full of odors, which are the prayers of the saints. And he sung a new song, saying, "Thou art worthy to take the book and to open the seals thereof, for thou wast slain and hast redeemed us to God by thy blood out of every kindred and tongue and people and nation, and hast made us unto our God kings and priests, and we shall reign on the earth. And I beheld and I heard the voice of many angels round about the throne of the beast and the elders, and the number of them was 10,000 times 10,000 and thousands of thousands, saying with a loud voice, 'Worthy is the Lamb that was slain to receive power and riches and wisdom and strength and honor and glory and blessing.' And every creature which is in heaven and on the earth and under the earth, and such as are in the sea, and all that are in them, heard I saying, 'Blessing and honor and glory and power be unto him that sitteth upon the throne, and unto the Lamb forever and ever.' And the four beasts said, Amen. And the 24 elders fell down and worshiped him that liveth forever and ever. Now watch very carefully. We're going to skip through some verses here in chapter 6. But the scroll has been taken. And the scroll is seven seals. And each seal has to be removed so you could read the next portion of what was in that scroll. Jesus is going to open it up. Chapter 6, verse 1 is the first seal. And I saw when the Lamb opened one of the seals. Verse 3, and when he had opened the second seal. Verse 5, and when he had opened the third seal. Verse 7, and when he had opened the fourth seal. Verse 9, and when he had opened the fifth seal. Verse 12, and I beheld when he had opened the sixth seal. Now watch this, chapter 8, verse 1. And when he had opened the seventh seal, there was silence in heaven about the space of half an hour. I'm going to preach that on the subject, the half an hour in your life. Let's pray. Father, thank you for tonight, for the folks that have purposed to come out. May thy will be done. May we be a better people after having been here tonight. Pray that you be with all the prayer requests that have gone out and those that will go out. We pray especially now for thy will to be done in this church service in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you. You may be seated. And when it opened the seventh seal, there was silence in heaven about the space of half an hour. Now, we all have watches and calendars by which we judge both time and events. But here in Revelation chapter 8, verse 1, God breaks down time into a half an hour segment, a mere 30 minutes, about the space of half an hour. Now, the purpose for this half an hour pause in heaven, where there's silence for about space of half an hour, is the purpose of this is to pause. A pause is a time of reflection to look back on the seals that have been opened, to look back on what's taking place in the rapture, to look back on what's taking place in Revelation chapter 1 coming up to this text. It's a time to pause and reflect. It's also a time to pause and be silent in anticipation of what's going to happen from the opening of verse 7 in chapter 8, verse 1, as it opens up and reveals the seven vials of punishment. These seven trumpets are going to be sounding. These seven seals are a set of symbolic controls on a heavenly scroll that Jesus Christ himself is opening one by one and reading what's therein. It's unleashing end time judgments, cosmic signs, and transition to final events that are yet to take place. We use the word awesome a lot in our language today, and it's almost overused, it loses emphasis, but this is an awesome presentation of what's going to take place in the future. And these judgments that are pronounced are not funny. They're judgments of death, famine, martyrdom of the remnants that are left. There's judgments of the anarchy, and this goes on and on and on. And the seventh seal, when it's open, reveals all of this, and we begin to see it if you were to read on through the text. But before it's open, there's silence in heaven for about the space of half an hour. Can you grasp that? I have trouble grasping it. In heaven, for about the space of half an hour, everything stops. There's silence. There's no singing. There's no preaching. There's no testimony. It's silence for about the space of half an hour. This pause, we use it when we speak. I've been using it a little bit tonight. Women don't use it as much as men. Okay. But Sister Dilly just gave me one of those wifey things. Women go to the same school. So it's out there somewhere is a school that the wives go to. They learn to do this. They learn to do this. Somewhere out there is a school. Amen. This pause is used in music. If you just went on and on and on with music, one verse after another, it'd just be like a run-on sentence, but there's a pause required in music for an emphasis. If you read the Psalms in the Old Testament, you often see the word Selah. That's a pause. It gives you time to think about what's been said and to consider that. It's almost like, what do you think about what you just read? What do you think about that statement? What do you think about that psalm? There's a pause that takes place here. It's needed, but there's space, about half an hour, And in the space of half an hour, it's silence in all of heaven. I can't hardly grasp that taking place. But it's before the seven trumpet judgments that begin here in this text. Now, I have a personal question tonight. I don't mean to be too personal, but I mean need to be personal. What are you doing with the half hours in your life? What have I been doing with the half hours of my life? I know I can look back and see a lot of them wasted half hours. Now I'm a Western nut. I've watched so many Westerns. When it starts, I don't remember titles to them. My wife said, "Have you seen this?" I said, "I'll tell you in about 15 seconds. I don't know. Well, don't you remember the title?" "No, I don't remember the title." And then it starts, "Yeah, I've seen it." But boy, what a wasted time watching all those Westerns over the years. Amen. It's so wasted. Now, if there were still stagecoaches today and I could be a stagecoach robber, maybe I could learn something from them. But it's wasted hours. Wasted half hours. But here, the Lord draws attention to this half an hour. I think the half an hours in our life are something we need to consider tonight. I've been thinking about some of the half hours of my life, and sometimes I say, well, I don't have time for that because I'm too busy. I'm thinking about, what do we do with our half hours? What could we do with our half hours? I'd like to make some suggestions tonight of what we can do with a half an hour in our life. You know, if you just took a half an hour every day and set aside, you could read the entire New Testament through in 1 month. In 1 month, half an hour a day in God's Word, you could read the entire New Testament through. I'd say that's not wasted time. I'd say it's time where you sit silent reading God's Word and meditating upon it and reading through it. And I'm not talking about studying right now, but just a half an hour a day, you could read through the entire New Testament on a monthly basis. Man, what a blessing that would be. I've done that before, but haven't done in a while, to confess to you, be honest. But the truth is, what a need to get back into that. And that's a great habit, if you will. That's a great thing to do. Spend a half an hour a day reading God's Word. And half an hour a day, you could read the entire New Testament in 1 month. If I was to preach a little bit tonight, challenge a little bit tonight, I'd say, don't tell me you don't have half hour a day to spend with God. I know I do. There's half hours today that I've wasted. That looking back, if I would spend it reading God's Word, reading in the New Testament, and in a month's time, I could read through the entire New Testament in a month's time frame. Man, what a blessing that would be to read through it month after month after month. And how it would hide God's Word in your heart so you don't sin against Him. And how it would, Scripture would unfold before you and begin to understand it more and more as you read along. The half hour a day reading God's Word. You know, if you took a half an hour and you had someone that was interested and someone that was under conviction, you could win a soul to Christ. In a half hour, you could spend opening up a Bible and showing a lost soul how they must be born again. If they're listening and they're paying attention and they have a desire to be saved and they're tired of living in their sin and in iniquity, you could take just a simple half an hour time and lead somebody to Christ. Listen, that's eternal value, leading somebody to Christ. Eternity stands between them. And if we just take a half an hour and learn enough Scripture, open up the Bible, and show somebody how they need to be saved and how God loves them and how Jesus died for them and shed His blood on Calvary and how they've transgressed against the Lord and bring them under this conviction through the preaching and teaching and showing them of God's Word. In half an hour, you could win a soul to Christ. If we could purpose to say, I know somebody that's lost. I've got a neighbor. I've got an acquaintance. I've got somebody at work. I ran across this person. I ran across that person. Oh, just half an hour at a time, you could lead somebody to Christ. Boy, you talk about time well spent. In a half an hour, we could read the entire New Testament. In a month, half an hour a day. In a half an hour, we could win a soul to Christ. In the space of about half an hour, we could pray and spend time with the Lord. When's the last time we actually spent half an hour in prayer? Somebody said the greatest point of a Christian's life of hypocrisy is in church service when we sing. Sweet hour of prayer, sweet hour of prayer that draws from a world of care, and yet we won't spend half an hour, but we'll sing about sweet hour of prayer we spend with Him. A half an hour. Remember when Jesus went to the Garden of Gethsemane and He came back and the apostles were asleep? He said, could you not stay awake with me 1 hour? And just 1 hour. And here we're talking about half an hour of silence before the Lord, half an hour of speaking to the Lord, half an hour of letting God speak to us through reading His Word, a half an hour with the Lord every day. Man, what a blessing that would be in prayer. When somebody says, I have this need, I have this problem, I have this issue, and you say, I'll pray with you about it. Do you? Or do you go on our business and forget about it? Maybe we should pray with them right then and pray with them later, but praying with them and praying for them, both, if you will. But a half hour prayer in day, each day, man, that'd be a blessing. This half hour spent is well spent. Do you know that in half hour a day, you could, in a month's time, you could memorize major sections of scripture? You could memorize Psalm 119 in a half hour a day. Man, that's the longest chapter in the Bible, 176 verses. Yeah. Have you ever memorized it? Yes. Do you know it now? No. but I could do that again. We could do that again. You could memorize. I remember scriptures that I have memorized that I've forgotten. And when I talk about it, when I preach about it, I come under conviction myself again. Because in the past, I've memorized Psalm 119, Isaiah 53, Psalm 22, 23, 24, Genesis 1, and other scriptures, chapters that I've memorized. And man, it makes a difference when you hide God's word in your heart. I don't remember them now, but I think if I got back to it, got back in the word, that a half hour a day spent memorizing God's word again, those things would come back. And man, that's refreshing. Man, that's exciting to be able to use God's word. This comes in mighty handy when you're witnessing somebody and you don't have your New Testament on you. You don't have a tract on you, but the word of God is hidden in your mind and in your heart. And you can pour it forth and you can quote to them John chapter 3 or John chapter 1, where it talks about the deity of Christ. And you can talk to them about the word by having it memorized and hiding it in your heart so you don't sin against God. And a half hour a day, if we turn our TV off and walk away from worldly internet for a half hour a day, and be still before God and quiet before Him, man, that'd be a great value. But we just somehow, we are addicted to this silly thing. Just put it down for half an hour. What if it rings? Put it on silent for half an hour. When you go out to eat at dinner in a fine restaurant like McDonald's with family, and you look around, everybody's on one of them. Why do you go out to eat together if you're going to talk to somebody else or text somebody else while you're eating dinner with them? That's a novel thought. Put the thing down for half an hour. Leave it in the car. What if somebody calls? Call them back. A half hour that we spend here and a half hour that we waste there and a half hour that we use for something else, if we think about it and be honest with ourselves about it, I think there's some things we could set aside for half an hour and use that half an hour for the Lord in His word or talk to somebody about Christ or in prayer or just being silent before Him. In half an hour, you could drive to church Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night, revival, mission conference. And for half an hour, we could drive to church. Sometimes I'm late because of traffic, trying to walk across the street. That half an hour. If we take that half an hour and say, you know, I'm going to go to church. It might take me half an hour, and I'm going to start out early. And wouldn't it be interesting if we got to church early on time? I might, visit with somebody and everything. That'd be a blessing. One day this wife says, better hurry up. It's church time. He goes, I know. He said, better hurry up. You're going to be late. So how come I always have to go? She said, you're the preacher. But getting here early, what a blessing that is. Amen. My wife has this thing. She likes to stay after church is over and say bye to everybody. I kept telling her, I said, we're not in the pastorate anymore. We can actually be the first ones to go home. Well, I can't do that. I didn't say bye to this person. I didn't hug this woman bye. And I didn't say bye to this person. I said, I'll help you. Bye. There's a man in Beeville, Texas we used to go to church with. And all the guys were trying to figure out how to get their wives to move along. Let's go home. Church is over. And Brother Randy Duncan, he whistled and his wife said, I got to go. And she turned left. She was talking to the ladies and just stopped and walked out and followed him out. And we said, Brother Duncan, how'd you do that? He said, you got to be willing to leave. And we said, no, we're not man enough for that. Oh, but that half hour spent visiting with folks at church, what a blessing that'd be. A little fellowship here. Amen. What a blessing. But a half hour, not only could we get to church, we might be able be able to stop and pick somebody else and bring them too. You know, in a half-hour day, you could study out a Bible doctrine for yourselves. You could take the doctrine of salvation or eternal security or baptism or the two ordinances. You could or sin or righteousness or holiness. You could take these subjects in half-hour a day in a week's time. You could spend time in the scripture studying out a specific doctrine. Amen. You could learn a lot from the Bible that way. One great way to study the Bible is to answer the questions. What must I do to be saved? That's a good question. And what doth hinder me to be baptized? Answer these questions. Find these questions in the Bible. Tons of questions that are asked that could, you know, have a Bible answer to them. A half hour a day in a month's time frame, I dare say you could get pretty knowledgeable about a Bible doctrine. Then you could come to church and you could go up to Brother Kevin and say, "Have you studied out predestination?" And he goes, "Huh?" And you say, "I have. I'm a Bible scholar now." And you could study things out, and you could go up to Leah and you could say, "Have you studied out? Do you know any Greek words like gymnasium or homogenized milk? Any of those big words?" And she would say, "Well, sure I do. I'm smart. I've been to college. Amen." But in all seriousness, I mean, half an hour a day in a month's time frame, man, you could do a lot of study of God's Word. Not just reading God's Word, yes, studying God's Word also, and slowing down and studying out a doctrine, studying out a thought, just like studying out this thought. There was silence in heaven about space of half an hour. What does that mean? Why the silence? What happened before the silence? What happened after the silence? Spend a half hour a day for a time frame, even a week, and starts to come together and say, "Man, that's good stuff. Man, that's rich." If a half hour a day, you can learn as much about the Lord Jesus Christ. You could look at statements made in the Bible where Jesus said, "I thirst." Statements like, "He must be born again." Statements like, "Lazarus, arise." Statements in the Bible that are made dogmatically, emphatically, and study them out and try to understand the background of what's going on. But the question still stands tonight, what are we doing with our half hours? What have I done with my half hours today? What did I do with them yesterday? How many half hours have I wasted in this past week? How many half hours have you wasted this past week? Time sitting in silence with the Bible in your hand and on your knees, if you will, or in your study at home, and the Word of God is not wasted time. Time sharpening the axe is not wasted time. Time spent taking care of something so it'll run longer or do better is not wasted time. Silence. It's almost like we've lost another word in our vocabulary. With all the hustle and all the noise and traffic and everything going on, where's the silence? Now, we just moved from Missouri on 22 acres or surrounded by other properties that are bigger than that. And in the distance, you could hear a train. And once in a while, you might hear a diesel rig way out on the highway about 4 miles away if the wind was blowing right. But most of the time, it's pretty silent out there. I liked it. And then we moved here. Haven't heard any silence here. Haven't heard in church, hasn't heard it there, haven't heard it at their house. Just don't hear silence here. Miss Sarah was at her house once there in Missouri not long ago, and we were talking about that, and she was like, "I can't stand it out. This is just too much. I like to be in the city and all this." And her mom and I said, "Well, we've lived in big cities, San Antonio, El Paso, Amarillo, Corpus Christi area, and so forth, and Austin. We don't want that. We're tired of that. We're weary by it. We like the silence." "Oh," she says, I don't know what it is. And so we got home from church on Wednesday night, and it was dark, and we started to go in the back door of the house out there, and I said, "Stop." She said, "What?" I said, "Do you hear that?" She goes, "Hear what?" I said, "You don't hear it?" She goes, "I don't hear anything." I said, "That's my point." Silence. It's a strange word to us today. What is that? Never heard that before. I would ask him publicly, but I don't want to embarrass him. "Brother Nathan, is it silent around your house now that you've gotten married?" Silence for the space of half an hour. When you're raising children and it's crazy and all the hubbub all day long and they're coming and going and all this ruckus going on and they go to bed and go to sleep, but oftentimes mom and dad sit there and chuckle, "Ah, Finally, click. What's on TV? Silence. Silence. We make excuses. I'm just wondering if, in preparation for and after church, if we spend some time in silence. Even if it wasn't the space of half an hour, even if when you got your family in the car and everybody was hurried, still putting on their makeup and getting this ready, and, oh, I forgot my Bible, go back and get it, and one thing and another, and you get in the car and you start turning the air on, what if you just stopped and said, before we go to church, I'll put this thing in drive, we're just going to stop and have a word of prayer. Ask God to meet with us tonight. Ask Him to speak to our hearts tonight. Help us to listen on purpose tonight. Oh God, would you talk to me tonight? Would you speak to my heart tonight? And just pause for a moment, even if it's not half an hour. What if tonight when you left, you did the same thing in reverse? What if when you got in your car to go home and you got home before everybody ran to the house and did everything, you just stopped for a minute? You just stopped and thanked God for speaking to you tonight. Just paused, just for a minute. We're just silent before Him. Just slow that heart down. Slow your mind down. Don't worry about the pizza getting cold, and don't worry about all that sort of thing. Just slow down for a second. I've got too much to do to slow down. Like, I got too much to do to spend half an hour alone with the Lord. I got too much to do. Really? Wow, what a thought. What a statement. Too busy for Him? Too busy for this? I'll close with a little poem tonight. It's titled, I Met God in the Morning. I met God in the morning when the day was at its best, and His presence came like glory with His sunrise on my breast. All day long His presence lingered, all day long He stayed with me, and we sailed with perfect calmness over a very troubled sea. Other ships were torn and battered, other ships were more distressed, but the winds that seemed to drive them brought to me a peace and rest. And then I thought of other mornings with a keen remorse of mine, when I too had left the blessings of His presence far behind. And so I think I've learned the secret for many a troubled way. If you meet God in the morning, you can have Him all the day. Amen. Sweet hour of prayer that draws me from a world of care. And there was silence in heaven about the space of half an hour. Let's stand for prayer, please. Father, in Christ's name, I pray that you take this very simple message tonight, just this one verse, this one thought, and it might make a difference in somebody's life tonight. Would you forgive us for the time we've wasted? Help us to realize that time is a commodity like money, and once it's spent, it's gone. Help us to be more accountable to ourselves and to you for our half hours. Father, as we pause now for just a few minutes during this time of invitation, may your will be done. In Jesus' name, amen. You come, church, and let's pray tonight.
And oft escape the
Sweet hour.
As we tarry tonight for these at the altar, do you need to come?
Sweet hour of prayer.
We'll tarry for you.
Thy wind shall my petition
silence.
Bear
in heaven for about the space of half an hour.
Him is truth and faithfulness. Engage the waiting soul to bless. And since he bids me seek his face, believe his word and trust his grace, I'll cast on him my every care and wait for thee, sweet hour of prayer.
Amen. Appreciate you coming tonight, I want to take just a minute for prayer requests, if you don't mind being seated for a few minutes. And I don't know everybody's name, so if you forgive me if I'm not sure. But I know we need prayer for the youth conference, the youth con, and pray for the services this week and the church services tonight there. They're coming on Friday. Be in prayer for Brother Morgan and his dear wife, and then be in prayer for my wife, if you don't mind. And that sounds selfish, but be in prayer for me. I'll be traveling, going to Texas to preach this coming Sunday. And then our daughter Sarah's home tonight, respiratory issues. And I think it'd be good to pray for the Vacation Bible School decisions that were made that we can follow up and make contacts with the parents of the children and see if we can reach the families too. I want to compliment Brother Sanford. Before church, he says, I'm going to try to stay awake while you're preaching. And he did. I'm so proud of him. Amen. His wife said, just don't snore. And he did a great job, and I appreciate that. Amen. But on a serious note, anybody have any prayer requests that we can jot down that I already mentioned? Yes, ma'am. Yep. First name is Brother. Not Brother Kevin, Brother Nathan, yeah, why don't you come up and take this prayer? I have trouble hearing, so I'm going to ask you to repeat that, and he can hear better than I can. He's younger and better ears. Yeah, come on up and, yeah. Your first name is Brother, right? I got that. You can hear better than I can. Why don't you take the request tonight, yes, if you would.
All right, Ken Kowski, he's the pastor for Terry and Karen in Iowa. And sorry, he had a stroke.
What was the last name again?
Kowski, K-O-S-K-E.
Ken Kowski. So let's be praying for Pastor Ken Kowski in Iowa.
Correct.
He had a stroke. So let's pray for him.
Anyone else tonight?
So for praying for like adoption for, yeah. Okay. What's Foster. Okay. What is his name so we can pray for him? Jonathan. So Pastor Jonathan, not Swope, but Pastor Jonathan. Okay. Pray for adoption. Any other prayer requests?
my foot. I hurt my foot Sunday. I don't know if I broke it or sprung it.
Can you repeat that one more time?
I'm sorry. I hurt my foot Sunday.
You hurt your foot.
I don't know if I broke it or if I sprung it. Doctor here said I didn't break it or else wouldn't be able to walk on it. So
okay. Okay.
So
let's be in prayer for Miss Rita. She hurt her foot. Let's pray for Miss Rita.
I put this on the prayer chain that us ladies go through, just about my stomach. I'm having a pretty big flare up. It's not resolving, and it's hurting pretty bad. So
okay, we'll be in prayer for that. So yes, pray for Mrs. Ames and her stomach, her situation that she's got going on right now. Pray that could heal quickly.
There's somebody in my apartment. His name is David, and I found out from his son that he just got his leg amputated and stuff, and I also haven't spoken.
Okay. Pray for Brother Michael's unspoken and for his neighbor's son.
I also have a prayer request. I don't know if I'm going to be able to say this. My brother in Iowa has got cancer, and he's got lung cancer, and they're going to have to go in, or they had went in and cut it out, but they said it got into his bones, and he don't have long to live.
Okay. We'll be praying for that, for his name. Okay. Okay, so pray for Brother Heston's brother. He has cancer. Pray that Lord might help him with that. Lung cancer. Any other prayer requests?
Why don't you dismiss this when you're done?
Yes, sir. One more.
Just continue to pray for Dr. Lindstedt at Sunrise.
Mm-hmm. Yes. He is battling esophagus cancer right now, pretty bad. So yes, pray for him as well. All right, I believe that's all our prayer requests. We'll go ahead and stand and dismiss in a song. Okay, we'll have Kevin dismiss us in a song, and then you'll be dismissed.
All right, let's all stand one more time for dismiss here. Let's do page 183. We're marching to Zion. We'll sing the first verse of this one as we dismiss. Come we that love the Lord and let our joys be known. Join in a song with sweet accord. Join in a song with sweet accord. And thus surround the throne, and thus surround the throne. We're marching to Zion, beautiful, beautiful Zion. We're marching upward to Zion, the beautiful city of God. You're dismissed. See you on Sunday.